AFND presents Mercs and Monsters is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
Welcome back to All Flex No Dex. I am your story weaver tonight. My name is Tony Spangler. Today we continue our journey with Ash the Mercenary in the TTRPG Rifts. Since the world is coming to an end, and the episode needs to air before Rifts opens, let's get back into the action.
Okay, so the bartender is there, and he's suspiciously mean-mugging you with his hand beyond eyesight.
So, Ash goes ahead and adopts a very casual, almost flippant demeanor. And he's like, relax, man. I just came back here to take a piss. And he starts, like, pulling his junk out to pee by the dumpster. I didn't think Elephant Boy out front would want me pissing at his feet.
You know we have bathrooms inside, right?
Yeah, I also know how you affiliated folks treat your private spaces. Don't like outsiders in there.
Go on, take a piss.
Okay.
He's just watching you.
What is this? Auschwitz?
He just drops the trash outside the door, but he doesn't leave the door frame. His hand's still...
Ash will.
Okay. Roll me. So, do you think Ash actually needed to pee?
He does now. This is a life and death pee right here.
Okay, so he watches you and it, like, I'm going to say it takes a minute. You wouldn't be on the spot. I just don't.
No, Johnny on the spot.
Here. No, you have no reason to. And you've been amped up for a fight, you know, since you came here. So I would imagine your pecker went into hiding mode and your bladder is on reserve. Like, come on.
I might make some like little comment to, like, he's shy or something like that. Well, this guy eyeballing me.
Like, usually don't do this with an audience. So you eventually pee and you finally do, and he just and he steps back and closes the door.
Yes. And I'll walk out of the alley the way I intended to go.
Okay. So, yeah, you leave.
All right. I'm not really concerned with sleep yet at this point, so I'll try a few different directions and see if I can get a beat on anything, but at this point I think I've kind of shat the bed, so.
So now you know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So do you want to start asking around, gathering intelligence on him? I'll just have you roll another intelligence roll. Or you can try to find out more specifically about the Black Hand and how they deal here.
Yeah, that was more toward where he was leaning. Do the local law enforcement have any issue with Tennessee Headhunters?
Not that you know of.
Okay. So, I'm actually going to go to the office per precinct, whatever, for the local law enforcement. And
The nearest thing would be like a station. So sure. Like a couple guys hang out there at that station. So like
a guard
response
station.
Yeah.
And just kind of try to chat them up, like, hey, looking for a mark. What's up with these Black Hand guys? Can you tell me anything?
Okay.
Not a mark. That's the wrong word. That's for killing.
No, you definitely said that, because the reason why I say that is because Ash is not great with people. I was just about to say, you don't have any interpersonal skills, so. So you say that, and these particular guards, they kind of, like, look at each other, and they'd be like, They look back at you, and then they look down, and they're like, "No, we don't know anything about the Black Hand."
Oh, I see. They've got you in their pocket, do they?
You need to stop chasing whatever rabbit it is you're chasing.
Do you see the emblem on my chest?
Yeah. We know who the Tennessee Headhunters are.
Not gonna happen. But thank you for the information. Goodbye.
It's nice meeting you.
Did he say, I'm surprised you didn't say, it's nice knowing you. Go to a different guard station.
Okay, so it's going to take you a while. Orisol is fairly big, considering kingdoms in town. So it is getting on later in the night. You're not walking with any sort of speed, right?
No, in fact, the armor gives me a movement penalty, so I kind of just stroll.
Okay, so it is getting pretty late by the time you get to the next guard station.
All right, well.
I'll say there's like one guy on duty who's taking the night shift.
Okay.
Where do you say this one?
Ash is thinking about it on his walk there. Maybe that didn't go so well. So this time I'll say I'm on special business for the Tennessee Headhunters. I'm looking for someone. What's this Black Hand group all about?
Okay. Roll me a d20.
8.
You're an unlucky boy.
Oh, yeah.
he tells you that the Black Hand is one of the local gangs around here. They're known for violence, but they don't do much else.
Hired meat, essentially?
They could be.
No drugs?
Oh, probably.
Weapons?
Likely.
No, I mean, like, they're not known for big-time trafficking these things.
Not that I know of.
So just muscle, really, is the biggest thing.
As much as any other criminal gang. And you're getting the sense from him, he's very much a beat cop. That's what your role was. He doesn't know much more than what your standard just guard walking around would know.
But because he's a beat cop, he would have probably had many, many interactions with these folks.
You're also very far away at this point from that club. So his beat is probably on the other side of town where you're at.
Maybe.
Or he doesn't care.
That's always an option. It's late. I don't care. Who are you? Go away. Yeah.
So I'm going to say in this guard shack, too, there is a computer in there that probably has some sort of information on it. Dealing with the guards, you could ask for the information or you could bribe the guard. Just straight up pay to have him, because you have Dylan's name, so he might be on some registry.
Yeah. I'll see if I can bribe him, because I just need to touch the computer to do Machine Ghost.
Okay, so you just want to touch it and interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roleplay me the bribe.
Okay, so me as a player, I don't have any reference to, like, how many credits is a ton for the average person? How many credits is pocket change?
Think of it like straight...
like dollar.
Yeah. So, like, you just paid 5 credits for a beer.
Okay. So, like, okay, just think of them as common modern-day dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, man, I know it's late. I got business to do, to take care of. I know that, you know, you put up with a lot of shit every day. I just want some more information on this guy I'm looking for. $100, 100 credits, if you just let me touch that computer over there.
Ken looks at you funny. And he's not wearing a helmet, so you can see the facial expressions. Your helmet's off, right?
Correct.
Or on?
Off.
It's off?
Yeah.
Okay. So he can see that you're a Psy Stalker. So you're going to do some psionic shenanigans. Leans forward and like looks down the street in both directions. He leans back and he goes, "No, I can't. We don't take bribes." He keeps looking around.
I'll hold my credit stick out or whatever.
If you'll excuse me, I need to take my lunch break.
All right, man. I hear you. I'll hand over the cred stick or whatever it is, though.
And so he kind of like leans back and he looks up and looks back at you.
Oh, the camera. Okay.
He leans back and he takes a hat off the counter and kind of like puts it over his face and like covers his eyes.
Okay.
Roll me a perception check.
10 total.
Okay, so that's enough. You can see, you picked up on his eyes. You're outside of his shack, which is kind of like, it's like the size of the studio. Okay. So it's like a
10 by 10 room.
More or less, yeah. Okay. A little bit bigger than that. But he's like sitting like in front of the door about like 5-6 feet from you. And the way he looked up, there's probably a camera right above the door watching him and his stuff. So from where he's facing you and he's leaned back and he pulled the hat down, to his right is where the computer is at. So you'd have to get around the camera. You could also, because you have Machine Ghost, just reach up, because he left the door open. You can just reach up and touch the camera.
Oh, okay.
And do something with that. I'm going to say it's likely that whatever the camera is tied to this computer as well, and it probably has more than one camera. And it's probably also being recorded elsewhere. So if you wanted to try, you could touch the camera and see if there is an access to this computer.
Okay. Yeah, I can. It lasts for 3 minutes per level, so.
Okay. So is that what you want to do?
Yeah. Give the camera a little tippy-tap and see what comes up.
Okay, so when you tippy-tap and you focus, your eyes will go white and you kind of stand there motionless for a minute with your hand up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you close your eyes and when you open your eyes back up, you are in a... I'm going to say in a small room, like a 5x5 room that's empty. And there is a door that's closed.
Ooh, you're doing some Matrix shenanigans right now.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the door and see if this is an open connection to the computer.
Okay, so you go to open the door, and it opens up into a long hallway.
Hmm, okay.
Kind of like...
with doors in it?
No. So it's a long hallway. You can see the end of the hall, and there's no pictures or anything, but it's, think of like an office space. So there's like a carpet on the floor, and then it elongates down the hallway with white walls. And it's dimly lit. And at the end of the hall, it banks right.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay, so you go down there, and you turn right, and it's another long hallway, and you can see it goes down, and then it looks like it kind of descends down a couple of stairs, and midway there's a door to your left.
Okay. Check out that door.
Okay, so you go and check out that door, and it opens up into another small room. You get the sense that this might be another camera connection.
Hmm.
Another, like, small 5x5 room. No information there, nothing in there for you to garner or learn.
Okay.
Actually, I will say in the first 5x5 room and in this room, there is a flat screen monitor there that's off. So you get the sense if you turn that on, you'd be able to see what the camera's seeing.
Okay. That does make a little bit more sense to me. Okay. Back out.
Okay.
Well, actually, really quickly take a look at what this camera is looking at, just so I know what direction of the network I'm heading.
So you turn it on and take a look, and the screen shows the outside view. It's currently, this camera is looking at you. So this camera is on the outside of the building looking at the entrance of the door.
So not the one I'm touching?
Correct.
A different one?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Something like at the corner of the building or whatever?
Yeah.
Looking toward the entrance.
Yeah, it's not pivoting, it's stationary. So okay. It's looking at the entrance of the guard shack.
Okay. Okay, out and keep going.
Okay. So you go down the stairs, you open the door, and it's another long hallway. As you walk through, the door closes behind you, and this hallway keeps going. It's the exact same hallway that you were just in.
Okay. Keep following it.
Okay, you walk down, and you bank right, and it's another long hallway, and at the end of the hallway, the stairs descend a little bit, and there is a door to the left.
Okay. Check that one out.
Okay, you go open that door, and it's another closed door with a monitor in it.
Another camera. All right. At this point, does it feel like this might be a closed-circuit TV system?
No. Something is amiss here.
Something is amiss?
Yeah. Because, do you want to check this to see if it's the same camera?
Sure.
Okay, you turn it on. It is the same camera that's watching you from the outside.
Oh.
So, this specifically, just technologically speaking, doesn't make sense. Because these two cameras should be tied to a hub somewhere. Instead, you're walking in a loop. At this time, you sense a supernatural presence.
Oh. How far away?
It's strange. It's within the circuit. So you can't really tell distance. Distance is kind of convoluted and strange here because you're within a electronic space, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's in here with you.
For listeners, just to give a little bit more of a visual type of sense of what's going on here, and what I think Mr. DM is trying to create here, the machine ghost description says, a password or special access code may appear as a metal door or iron gate or locked filing cabinet that needs to be seemingly broken to open to gain access to what's held inside. The more difficult the code, the bigger, the stronger, and the more difficult the door or the lock. Data is likely to appear as books, paper files, diagrams, films, holograms, other common means of communication and documentation. The more sophisticated defense measures are likely to appear as one or more guards who must be defeated before information is accessible. They can appear as sorcerers, coalition troops, known enemies, exotic aliens, and then viruses or defenses designed to attack an intruder typically appear as demons or monsters. So it's essentially creating versions of these things that my mind can understand.
Well, not exactly. You are correct that it would do this. However, and you've experienced this before because you've used this ability before, not on the podcast, but you have as a character have used it before at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sense supernatural presences when that happens. You sense a supernatural presence here.
And it's not my external body sensing one near me, like in the real world?
It's not in the real world.
It's not in the real world.
It's in the circuit with you.
Hmm. All right, peek back out into the hallway.
You don't see anything.
All right. Ash doesn't like suspense. Hello, who's there?
Nothing replies.
All right. Start trotting back down the hallway.
Do you go back the way you came, or you go down the little flight of stairs to the door again?
Flight of stairs to the door again really quick.
Okay. And to give you more of a sense of what you look like, you're not in your full armor and armaments. In this space, because of how the psionic ability works, you're just in street clothes.
Okay.
So you go through the door again, and when you walk through it, again, it's the same hallway, the white walls. It goes all the way down, banks right, and you walk through, the door closes behind you, and this time lights start shutting off, one bank at a time. Down the hallway, till it's completely dark.
Hmm. Can I manifest a flashlight, a knife, a pistol, something.
Do you have any sonic abilities that will give you combat or anything that manipulates, aside from Psy Ghost, that manipulates electronics?
I don't think so.
Like electrokinesis or anything along those lines. Or Psyblade, I'll allow Psyblade.
No, Psyblade. No. Mm-mm. Don't really have anything.
Okay. You can always disconnect, but you have limited defenses or offenses, because this is not what that sonic ability is for.
Well, it does mention combat within the world that I'm in.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I thought you said you couldn't manipulate things, essentially.
I can't manipulate the machines themselves, but if you're having me fight against viruses or the physical manifestations of like viruses or defenses or programs or things like that, it does give a description of that.
So we'll say now that you have determined you're potentially in the danger zone, much like Iron Man with the nanobots suit that he has, you kind of just will the suit and your armaments into place, and you are covered in what you currently have equipped. So your body armor and whatever your weapon is.
Pistol and the rifle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just use the same stats.
Okay. So I'll pull out my pistol. Okay. Oh, and the grenades. I have grenades. Psychic grenades.
I'll allow the grenades too. So, do you have a way to see in the dark?
Do I?
I don't know if Crusade Armor has night vision capabilities.
I don't know either. That would be in here somewhere.
Yes.
Is there something about full environmental that would say a yes or a no?
Yeah, you could look at the standard. If there's nothing specific that says on there, mm-hmm. then look at the beginning of the body armor section, and it should say, this is the standard for all environmental body armors.
Oh, yeah. All environmental body armor have the following properties. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about having a light upon it.
So there are other helmets and goggles and visors that you can get installed or just have a whole different helmet to begin with. That'll give you night vision capabilities and infrared and all that. Did you buy one at any point? Is it on your equipment list?
My equipment list does list a flashlight.
But you haven't gotten a comms helmet or anything like that?
No, nothing specific. There it is, 2 flashlights, rechargeable, unbreakable. But this is the virtual world, so if I knew that I have it, even if I'm not wearing it, I could manifest it. This isn't reality.
For the flashlight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. I was going to say, you have the flashlights then.
Okay.
It's just those helmets are better.
So I'll do that cop thing where it's pistol or pistol and flashlight.
Okay. So one hand under the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you just proceed down.
I'll say, come out wherever you are.
So as much as acute of a sense that you have with supernatural creatures and magic casting creatures and all this.
This is what I'm made for.
This is what you're made for, yes. But this is the closest thing to, like, your sensing abilities running into static, so to speak. Like, you can sense it, but you can't focus it and narrow it down. You can't track the scent.
Like, it's too big?
Something about it is muddling your ability to sense it.
Oh, like it might be a feature of itself that it masks its
or
psychic scent or psychic aura.
Or has something to do with you being in this...
this world, the digital world.
Right.
All right. And no response when I said come out?
Nope.
But from what I understand about this ability, if it were some sort of protection for the computer system, it would have manifested more like an ant, just a straight enemy, right?
Right. Yeah, this is not a protection for this source. This is something else. This is a third party to the situation. This should have been easy in and out.
Look, I'm not here to hurt you. I was just here to find information on someone I'm trying to locate. I'm not here for you. I don't care if you're mooching off of this system. I'm just trying to find my way to some data.
No response.
Keep going.
You proceed down the hallway and you look down, and it's the same hallway as before, this time dark. There is that door to your left that leads to that camera. There's also another door to your right.
You are PTing me right now, okay?
I was wondering how long it was going to take before you figure that out.
And I don't like it. Yeah, Ash is not in it for this. Back out.
Okay. So you get out easy enough and you come back to the real world.
Take a quick, like, shake my head and take a breath and, like, try to perceive if it's been any length of time at all.
Time still elapsed, yes.
But I know things happen much quicker in the digital world than...
Yeah, you weren't in there for very long, so...
Okay. So, the camera didn't pan out. What do I need to do to essentially get to the computer without...
So you know now that you're being watched by the other camera too. So you're not avoiding the cameras. So unless you can erase the footage on there, he's probably just leaning back and pretending he's sleeping with the hat down. So if anyone were to look at it, he could say, oh, they snuck in after I told them to leave and I fell right asleep because I was... Like, he's claiming... what's it called when... You couldn't have been at fault because you didn't know, kind of thing.
Ignorance?
Yeah.
He's pleading the fifth?
Yeah. You did offer him money first, though, so he's probably expecting you to leave a credit stick behind before you leave.
Okay. Well, then. In I go. I guess I'll have to deal with the authorities later.
Okay.
Because I can't erase the data that's on this camera, that's on these cameras. So I'm hoping that it's not data that's constantly being reviewed by someone sitting in front of a monitor.
Right.
So, go in real quick.
Okay.
And touch the actual computer.
Okay.
Not the camera.
So you touch the computer, and again, your eyes go white and they roll back your head. You close your eyes, and when you open your eyes again, this time you're in a large office space full of cubicles.
Not like a library or filing cabinets or anything here?
No.
All right, start looking around at the cubicles.
So the first one that's right in front of you seems to have an open active computer. It says on there flashing, this is active user J-Paul.
Okay.
Which you noticed that was the name tag of the guard that's you're right next to.
Okay. Sit down at that computer and start tippity-tapping on the keyboard.
Do you have computer operations?
Computer. Yes.
Go ahead and roll it.
Oh.
Not everyone actually knows how to use a computer.
Really?
Yes.
It's that kind of future, I guess, huh?
Well, not everyone even knows how to read, so.
That's true. Ugh. No, 69 on 55.
Nice. You aren't sure how to get through this. You might have to find another way to get to the information you want. You're not going to be able to look through a directory through his, like, search history and whatnot. There's probably another way you can go about it.
Screw this computer. Go to start looking for other stuff.
So there are other doors, too. It looks like you're guessing each cubicle must be representative of each of the users. There are doors, though. There's three.
All right. Try the one that's closest to me, then, first.
Okay. You open up this door, and inside this room, another 10x10 room, and it's full of filing cabinets.
Perfection. Are they alphabetized? Or try to open them first.
They open up.
Okay. What is there names on the files?
It looks like one is incident reports.
Okay.
One filing cabinet has names of criminal affiliations that are known to be here.
Okay.
One is looks like a directory of active guards and magic users in the city of Orisol.
So a staff directory.
Mm-hmm. And then one filing cabinet is locked.
Okay. First, find the file on the Black Hand, since that's already unlocked.
Okay, it's not here.
Oh, there's no file on them?
Nope.
Okay, fine. Go to the locked filing cabinet.
The locked filing cabinet, so the other two, or the other three, are your standard, like, beige filing cabinet from, you know, the early 90s. This one looks like modern era riffs, modern era, like high-tech, like gun-safe kind of cabinet. It's all black, and it has kind of like one lock door that opens up.
Ah, I see you, beautiful. Try to manifest my vibro knife.
Okay.
Alright. Try to cut through where the lock would be, because it has to open. It's a drawer, so try to cut through where the lock would be, like running a credit card up along the inside of a...
Okay. You certainly can do that. It takes a second, because the vibro knife just holding against it will do damage. but the cabinet safe is very much acting in the way of like a mega damage safe would, so you have to like kind of like slowly cut through it like a hot knife through frozen butter. You make your way. When you get to the latch, you cut through it and you hear a buzz from inside.
Shit.
And you cut the rest of the way.
Alright. I know there's a timer on me at this point, so quickly open and see what's in there.
So you open it up, and it's a small doorway into another room.
Ugh.
And in this room, you see a bunch of filing cabinets, a lot of filing cabinets. They look modern, though, to riffs and categorized appropriately.
Okay. I am rushing at this point. Rifle in front, go to the one of the first filing cabinets and try to open it and rifle through it really quick.
Okay, so roll me a... You're not even taking time to look and search, really, so roll me a perception check.
Well, I want to see how things are filed before I decide, like, how I'm going to...
You still, yeah, but you're rushing, though.
Oh, perception. Nope, that's a 6. Well, plus 4 is 10.
Okay. You're glossing over things that don't make sense. They're probably events and operations that aren't supposed to be known about. Maybe dirt that the people in charge were keeping on local fiefdoms that are around here. You do come across one that was just titled Federation. But you do find a cabinet that looks like it's a collection of more minor entities in Orisol. That's probably where the Black Hands file would be if it's here.
Okay. Rush over there.
Okay. You rush over there, you pull it open, and you start digging through.
Yeah.
You start flipping through, and there's a lot of files of names that just you don't recognize. And eventually you do get to, you find a file that is labeled Black Hand, and it's a subfile with the Black Market.
The Black Market, okay.
And at this point when you find it, you know that you're pushing your limits here. Time-wise.
Okay. About how much time do I think I have left before essentially the bars slam down?
Do you have any lures for law enforcement or electronic protocols? Like maybe computer hacking or anything along those lines?
Only what kind of knowledge would come from my intelligence coupled with my computer operation. Remind me what NBC warfare is?
Nuclear, biological, chemical warfare.
Okay, so that's not a part of it, of anything. So, yeah, really only a very basic understanding that comes with my Spec Ops training.
Okay, so you know that the guard in the real world is going to be alerted to this, plus any other authorities, and there's probably a defense mechanism that's en route to you. That should have already arrived.
Some sort of, like...
antivirus kind of...
Yeah, okay.
Anti-malware.
That should have already arrived? I wonder if whatever the entity was in the cameras has some sort of control over this area, too, that maybe they don't even know about. Problem for a different day.
You don't sense it here, that entity.
Right. I get that. But if I was expecting a defense mechanism to be present already and it's not, that raises some questions.
Mm.
Can't take any information with me, but it does say that I can read super quickly. So scan...
essentially an object read, right? Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you read, and it's object read almost instantaneously. So you get it. The Black Hand is a small organization that works as a front for the black market. They do black market dealings. The file in there is that they had work done by an outside contractor recently. The name Dylan Slapp does come up, and he's one of the, essentially, the faces for the Black Hand. So he does the negotiations, the contracts, the payments, so forth.
He's the middleman.
Yes.
He's the face. Yeah.
They are small time, but they are tied to the black market, which is, think like watchdogs. There's a whole bunch of different sects, but they're all watchdogs.
Okay.
That's the black market riffs. So if any one of them gets nuked, them as a whole all know, and they might get mad. And the black market in riffs, they will get mad.
Okay. But it's mentioning some sort of recent deal?
With the Black Hand, yeah. So mind you, this is just information that the...
law enforcement has, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So what went on there, who they hired, they don't know. They just know Dylan went and did something.
Something went down.
Yeah.
Okay. Which means that... which leads Ash to believe that... whatever collection was anonymously bought has to do with this recent transaction.
Maybe.
All right. Slam everything back into place and pull out.
Okay. So you pull out, and the guard is looking up at you as you pull out, because everything's, you know, super fast in that world.
Yeah. Ash looks at him and goes, I know, shit, I'm leaving.
Whoop. He's like, hey, what are you doing in here?
Slap 500 in credits on the desk and jam.
So when you slap it down, he slaps your hand and grabs you, and he grabs you by the cuff of your armor and shoves you out the door, but his hand is trying to, like, you can tell it's like trying to cover the credits, but he throws you out the door. Okay. Do you resist him, or
no,
do you let him?
No, I let him do it, yeah.
Okay. So he does that, and he goes, get out of here!
I'll run away like I'm scared.
Yeah, he, like, hoots and hollers with a gun. It's like, ah! And he closes the door.
All right.
And now whatever's living in his electronics is his problem.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully he never has to figure it out. I don't think he machine ghosts.
No, but, you know, things like to come out of electronics just as much as they go into it.
Well, again, like you said, his problem, not mine.
He gets to deal with the PT ghost.
Well, that didn't gain me much for a lot of risk.
Well, you know now that the Black Hand is basically the black market.
And is the connection here in this town to the black market.
Yes.
As a whole.
Yes. And
So if somebody here in this town wants something from the black market, they go to the Black Hand.
Likely.
Okay.
Also, if you kill or assault Dylan Slap, you're going to have the ire of the black market.
What's the protocol for Tennessee Headhunters on something like this?
If the Tennessee Headhunters knew that you're having to go collect on the black market, they would have told you. As far as you know, as far as you understand.
Do I have a connection, like a direct superior with the headhunters who I could radio or video call or communicate with?
You're too far away from Merktown. They don't have a base of establishment here in Orisol. That's why you're here. Well, that's why you're here collecting. Why you didn't just go right home?
I could have sworn I got some specialized communication device before I set out. That's not the PDDV, is it?
No, that is a personal computer device that does videos too.
Oh, okay. And then I have something.
So I think you have, we talked about the mics and your helmets and all that, and they go out a couple of miles. You don't have something that'll reach all the way back to Merktown, though.
And shortwave radio technology is gone?
Yeah, for the most part. The longer range radios, they don't go out that far.
Is that because...
probably like more than 100 miles away, if not a little bit more than that, the distance you guys traveled. And those radios, even modern radios right now, only go like 20 to 50 miles.
And from reading in the books, that's because the infrastructure has been destroyed, correct?
Right.
The radio towers, essentially.
Right. So you can get like those radio backpacks and all that, you know, and they go, let's say they go a little bit farther than today's standard just because technology is so much more advanced in RIFs, but it's still going to be beyond the range. Like what they have in the book is only 50 miles. Considering what technology is now, what it would be in RIFs, probably 60 or 70 miles is probably the best you can get with a good long-range radio.
Okay.
And even then, there's a limit to how far radio waves go. I haven't done, you know, the research on it, so it could be entirely wrong, but that's what I'm saying in this case.
All right. So, Slappy gets to live another day for now because I feel like this one needs to go on the back burner until I can connect with my superiors at Tennessee Headhunters to let them know what's going on here.
So you could stay in town, do rest or whatever, and collect on the other two if you wanted to, or you could hop in your power armor and just fly to Merktown.
Yeah,
it'd probably take you
like 30 minutes or something. Flying at supersonic speeds. I think we figured out it's like 700 miles an hour or something like that.
Yeah, you'd get there in less than like 10 to 15 minutes, I think.
But it is also the middle of the night, probably crossing time zones if those exist. So
you're not that far away.
Oh, I thought you said it's like 100 miles. Yeah, that would be
100 miles is another time zone.
Well, it depends on where you are, okay? All right? If I was right on the line, it would be.
Sure.
No, but it is the middle of the night, so I think I'll just go back to the room I bought and try to get some sleep for now. But I was planning on collecting on the other two before I go back to Merktown.
Okay. I don't think you got a room yet.
Oh, I thought you did.
I don't think so. I think right after you did your business with your transport, you went straight to the shop.
Okay. Are there any reputable inns that are still open?
Yeah, there's enough. It's like modern day today with inns. There's somebody always at the desk, somebody blurry-eyed and doesn't sleep.
Or the one who's the overnight counter person.
Yeah.
And my armor is essentially being stored like a horse in a stall at the mechanic shop, right?
Right.
Okay.
You'll have to pick it up tomorrow morning, otherwise you're going to have to start paying storage fees. It's taking up space.
Which is fine, yeah. So I'll find a hotel, hostel, inn, and in one of the more reputable parts of town, and that's relatively near the mechanic shop.
And you just want to stay for the night?
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be 10 credits.
Okay, that's fine.
Real basic, bare bones. Just a room with four walls and a bed.
Yeah, it's fine with Ash. Crash. Take off the armor and then crash.
Okay. You do that and sleep and wake up in the morning.
All right. Morning ablutions. And then gear back up and then go get... Not my power armor yet. Who's next on my list of collections?
So, you have two others. You have the Nerdorf Vasir Rids, and then the Posliznik named Lovanov Zefripold.
Alright. Ash doesn't really have a preference. He mentioned the Nerdorf first, so let's go to the Nerdorf.
Okay, so you're going to need to know where his shop is, and you don't know currently.
All right.
Same with the Posliznik. You don't know where his clinic is that he works.
Okay. Let's start by asking the mechanic shop owner, because I've already established, like, we've worked together for a few hours at this point. I'm assuming we've exchanged one or two words.
You could also ask the person at the front desk of the hostel.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Probably a different one than last night. So, yeah, ask them first if they've heard of either of these people or either of these businesses.
There's a young blonde woman at the counter. I rolled a d20 and a d10. That's not what I wanted to do.
By the way, can I get the 12 ISP back that I used?
Yes. I rolled very poorly. She does not know either.
Oh, super.
She doesn't even know what a Posliznik is.
Me neither, sweetie. All right, head to the mechanic shop then.
Okay.
Oh, no, my power armor flies at 400 miles an hour. But still, that's twice the speed of an average jet in these days.
Yes, I think, yeah. For some reason, I have 2 hours set in my mind, but probably like an hour at the most to get there, probably like 45 minutes.
Let's see. I gain ISP at an alarming rate.
Yes.
Can I just have my all the way up to my total back, which...
How much are you down?
I'm down only about 22 points from total.
Full night's rest will get you full.
Okay. Do I gain any... Am I down any is a question. SDC. I am down some SDC as well from my last fight. Do I gain anything back from a night's rest?
1 point.
Okay.
So anyways, you go talk to a mechanic?
Yeah, see if he knows where either of these places are.
Doesn't know the clinic where the Posliznik is, but he does know of the Techno Gremlins. So he points you in the direction. He gets stuff from Vasir every now and then.
Okay. Head that way.
Okay. So it's a... You head on down there. It's not too far away. And it seems to be a... More or less a cluttered tech head shop. So you can see, like, there's windows in the front of the shop. And above it is a plaque... That's fairly big above the door that says Techno Gremlins. And in the windows, you can see there's just like, think like a thrift shop that's not well kept. There's just stuff in
everywhere,
there.
Yeah.
And you go in.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in, and there's no one else in there. You hear some rummaging from the other side of the shop, about 20-ish feet from you. And from around the corner, from a door behind a desk, comes this older-looking, short humanoid that looks to be a Nerdorf. And he says, how can I help you? He looks to be a blonde beard, or he has a very long blonde beard that's stained with oil and grease, and he's wearing a tank top that looks like it'd be very splattered and covered in oil and stains. Very much a mechanic or tinker look to him. Like soot and grease on his nose, and he has a pair of like welding goggles are up on his forehead, and all over his body are runic tattoos.
Which is common for the Nerdwarves. I saw another Nerdwarve last night with that on him.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you, insert name here that I forgot?
Vasir Reds.
Okay. Are you Vasir?
I am.
You owe a debt to the Tennessee Headhunters. I'm here to collect.
Oh, yes. Hold on. Give me a sec. And it looked like he was like rubbing something down in his hands, and he sets it on the counter, and he starts to walk back into the room that he just came out of.
Listen very acutely.
Roll me a perception check. Do you have any cybernetics that give you hearing augmentations?
No, wild size stalkers do not get.
You don't have any cybernetics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
17 plus 4, so 21.
So you listen in and you hear, it looks like he, or not looks, it sounds like he's like moving stuff around and like clanking on things and then like opening and closing containers. Kind of like he doesn't know where the money is or something is, but he's looking for it. He's trying to find it. Do you just wait for him to come back?
Yeah, as long as I'm not hearing like slapping weapon pieces together or yeah, like a big heavy like clank of like a big cannon or something.
You're not hearing like switches being thrown or a bolt being levered.
That's what I'm listening for. Okay.
And eventually he comes dawdling back and he has very much that doddering old man kind of vibe to him. But he comes back and he looks to be still looking for it. So he comes to the desk and says, I know it's around here somewhere. Hold on. I knew this day would come. of course I'd lose it. And he like starts like digging in the stuff below the counter in front of you. And he goes, ha! Yeah. And he pulls out this credit stick that's just saturated in oil and just
dirt.
Gunk and yeah.
Has some magnets clinging to it.
Yeah. And there you go. It's money well spent.
So I'm assuming I have a way to check what's on this credit stick?
You just plug it into your PDD or into your armor.
Okay, so check it.
You know he owed 20 grand. And it's there.
All right. You know, I appreciate the simplicity of this transaction.
I appreciate everything your organization's done. You guys were able to find me some rare components that are in the hands of ne'er-do-wells.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad it was money well spent for you.
Speaking of money spent, is there anything here you'd like to buy before you leave? Well, there is quite a bit of tech, and there's a lot of tech and small trinkets and knickknacks in here, but there could be something useful here.
Yes, actually, because I essentially used up all of what I had to repair my power armor, right? I used up all of my pieces.
Yeah.
So I have the portable robotics toolkit. Is that, like, needing to be refreshed with pieces and parts, or is that just tools?
Kit carries enough supplies and spare parts to repair up to 35 mega damage worth of damage in one complete system.
Okay. So
which is as in an arm or a leg. So not a full bodysuit. It's just one segment.
Okay. So I definitely need to get those pieces and parts back in there. Because I would have used them at some point.
I don't think I have anything of that caliber. Hold on. Do you want to browse his wares?
Sure, I'll look around and see what I can see in all this clutter.
He starts pulling out stuff that he thinks you might be interested in. A lot of the stuff, when you just look around, it kind of seems like junk or things that wouldn't necessarily be useful to you or to another headhunter or mercenary, you know.
Okay.
Very standard affair, you know.
Like he's fixing people's refrigerators and stuff.
Right, okay. Right. So okay. Robotics kit's a little beyond him.
Oh, okay.
So he does find another PDD-V Pocket digital disc and audio video player. I think that's what you have is a PD, the PDD-V.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he has another one of those if you want it.
Nope.
He has a portable computer. It's basically a thing like a smartwatch.
Oh, okay. What does that do?
It's a smartwatch.
But, yeah, but what does it link with?
It can link with wherever you want. So it can link with your power armor. It can link with any cybernetics or other electronics you want.
Can I use it like Iron Man to call my armor to me?
You can set up that modification, not allowed.
Ooh, sweet. Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. So that will be 500 credits.
What is it called?
It's portable computer. Or computer, comma, portable.
I'm putting portable computer.
And make sure you write smartwatch next to it, because they come in a variety of sizes. That was the one I was describing to you earlier.
Okay.
He goes and digs in a pile of junk, and he goes, oh, yeah, here, you might find this interesting. Is this useful?
What is it?
The watch. The smartwatch
to you. I thought we were on a different item.
It looks like it's like has like balls of cat hair stuck to it.
Yeah, I'll take it and kind of inspect it for a minute and kind of like make disgusted noises and then be like, could be useful.
I'll sell it to you for, how much should I say? Oh, 500 credits.
Ash has no idea if that's a good price or not. So we'll just keep looking, like, set it aside and be like, okay, let's see what else you have as well.
Okay. He starts, like, rummaging again through stuff, kind of like Yoda dicking through his stuff in his little hovel in episode 4 and or 5, whichever one Luke talks to Yoda in. He goes, do you do a lot of hunting and tracking of monsters of the sort?
Yeah, you could say that.
I have these discs, these reference discs. Would you be interested in these? And he presents to you a small box, and I think kind of like a container, like the old Rolodex used to be in.
Yeah.
Except when you pop it open, instead of like the paper Rolodex, it's little portable computer discs. And what these are computer reference libraries. So each one of them, he has 6. I allow you to pick which one, but each one is a reference to you can use in conjunction with a specific skill. So use it with a skill, and it'll give you a 5% bonus to that skill. So it'll be like references on known monsters in the world that have propagated, reference to pre-war stuff, reference to electronic know-how, like electronics for dummies kind of thing. Anything that would be like a segment, like an encyclopedia,
right,
essentially.
Right, The machine ghost says that I can machine ghost that kind of stuff, too. And, like, touch it and, like, upload the information into my brain, essentially.
You could. You wouldn't. So this information, it's not like you'll be able to store it permanently. Ash isn't a computer.
No, but I would essentially be able to learn it just like I would if I had sat down and read a book on the subject.
Sure, but you're not going to remember it. That's why it's called a reference library. At any point in time you're trying to do something that's not combat-oriented, for example, you could use this to be like, flip through the pages, and just like I haven't memorized all of the Rifts book, I'd have to flip back through the book to double-check something, you know.
So it's more like, I know I'm going to hunt this sort of beast. Let's look it up really quick and see, like, how does it travel? What does it eat?
Or
what is it?
If you wanted to make sure you weren't going to fry parts when you're trying to connect your smartwatch to your robot power armor suit, you could use this to reference electronic guides with the specifics with wireless connections and power armor, that kind of thing. Game mechanics-wise, if you use this in conjunction with a skill of your choice, you got to choose now. It'll give you a 5% bonus.
Okay. Let's see.
And like I said, he only has 6. I didn't choose. I'm allowing you to choose whatever is the most useful for you. But then it's locked into that place. So you have a disc for that skill.
Okay. What skill would you make me or have me roll for the connection of the smartwatch to the power armor? Would it be my mechanical engineer or computer operation?
I don't think it'd be computer operations. It might be computer operations because you're basically making a new app. What was that first one? Mechanical engineer?
Yeah. That's for, I feel like that's for more physical type stuff, like repairing an engine or repairing my power armor, not going into the digital space.
So, no, yeah, you are correct in this instance. Mechanical engineer will not work here.
I'd have to find somebody else to pay to Tony Stark this for me.
Yes, yeah, so do you not have robotic electronics or...
No.
Anything electronics-wise?
No. Other than my psychic ability for machine ghosting. Okay. I can't change anything with that.
So, yes, you will. That's what you'll have to do, yeah. How did I have you do the biometrics on it?
You told me I could use my mechanical engineer.
Okay. Probably because of the redesigning and all that.
Because in that sense, it's just about getting... It's about buying the bio-reader and just installing it into the suit.
Right.
I'm not making a bio-reader, I'm buying it.
Right. Yeah, and you're not... Yeah, just like you said, you're not making it. You just bought it and then installed it, which took some modifications and all that, which you ran into some hiccups with this particular power armor because Titan power armor is strange.
Oh, yeah, because they're so secretive about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is a skill, computer programming. You're going to need somebody with computer programming.
Programming, as opposed to just basic computer operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. In saying that, that's one of my lower skills that might be helpful to have a boost.
Or if there was a skill that you'd want a reference guide that you don't have the skill for, say, like, you don't have a reference or a skill on DBs. So I allowed you to have a reference disc on DBs and I'd give you the base score.
Oh.
So maybe if you failed the score, then, you know, it's out of date, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if you're willing to give that to me, then yeah, I mean, there's plenty. There's been several times throughout just this game where you've asked me if I have more DBs and it's like, nope, nope, nope.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
And then I'll say after some time of using it, and you have to actively use it, you can eventually get that skill without having to go up level.
Okay. All right. So we'll write down DB reference disk.
They're called computer reference libraries. Page 186 of the Game Master's Guide. Same with the smartwatch. Everything here is in the Game Master's Guide.
Okay. Does he have anything else that I... Oh, how much was the reference disc?
So that one reference disc was 300 credits.
Okay.
And he has 5 others. Each disc is different.
Okay. I'll take one on mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Because that's been a helpful skill so far. So that turns out to 600. It would make sense if it was like an advanced mechanical engineering.
Yeah, it'd be like a college book that you'd get when you're trying to get your bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. It'd be like that. Horribly boring to read, but very intuitive. And
it's like your code book for your electrician stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This is how you're supposed to do it. This is what it's supposed to do. Several years out of date, but nothing's really changed between editions, so you're fine. Do you want to get one that will help with interpersonal communications? Since that's gotten you into trouble a lot?
No. Ash does not people. That's a thing now.
Okay. I don't people.
All right, I think that's it for the reference discs. Got a couple of nerdy ones. Good there.
Do you want to glance on the skills, or are you good to move on? I like the skill selections.
Oh. No, I'm good to move on, see what else he has, if anything. If he feels like anything else might be useful. Let him try to sell me some stuff.
So he rummages around a bit more, and like he offers a few more things, and most of it's either something you already have or something that's just not useful to you. You know, break out in the field or just you headhunt. You're not a stay at home. So most of his stuff is just not useful. Eventually he goes, I don't really have anything else. What about my goggles? And he pulls them off. They're a pair of ordinary polarized goggles.
Oh, no, I have some of those. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll give him his money and head out.
Okay.
His name again starts with a V, doesn't it?
Yes. It is Vessier Rids.
And that's a total of 1,100 credit. 1,100 credits for him. And where are we going next? Because I might want to ask him if he knows anything about. That clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask him if he knows about the clinic. Anything about it at all, like where it is.
He goes, that's where Lovanov is.
Is that the name of the person I'm looking for?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's the Posloznik. He's an excellent fellow. He helps me with my medications that I need. He points you in the direction of the clinic.
Ash just nods and... Okay, thank you.
See, I got this kink in my shoulder, and it crickles.
No, Ash and is walking. So, no, Ash is going.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for your business.
Ash will just raise a hand. Won't even look back, just raises his hand.
And that's where we'll stop this episode.
Thank you for staying tuned and listening to Episode 6 of Mercs and Monsters. We appreciate every one of you for sticking around to the end of the episode. And please follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epi coming out March 22nd. Players tonight were Nicole, who played Ash, and our story weaver running the show was Tony Spangler. Take care and stay creative.